Now, I can't get over that phrase in the song that we're learning, that God's goodness is chasing after me. That's just awesome to think about, that our God is willing to chase after me with His goodness. With all my faults and issues that I have in life, He still wants me to be blessed. And we got an awesome God. We're at the end of our studies in Acts. It's been what a wonderful journey for me to be able to give these lessons, because it gives me an opportunity to study a whole lot deeper, and I've really enjoyed the study in Acts. So I was wondering, with my last lesson, with all the Acts that I still had left, how do I end this series? And I looked at Paul, who was once Saul, and I said, let's let Paul end this with his farewell to Ephesus, to his elders over there. Because I think he can't put it in a better way than what he did in Acts chapter 20, and starting verse 17. But let me warn you ahead of time. If you read before 17, Paul was preaching one day on the first day of the week. He preached so long, he preached into the next day, that a young man who was listening to him on the third floor fell asleep and fell out the window. He actually died, but Paul brought him back. So if I follow his example, you ain't got far to fall. So if we're here till midnight tonight, it's because we are following the example of Paul this morning. Paul called the elders of Ephesus church to him in verse 17 because he wanted to give them a farewell to them. And let's pick up on verse 18 of your notes if you have them, and you can follow along in the Bible if not. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived this whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears." Hold up for a second. There's a lesson right there within some. His whole time when he was preaching the gospel and teaching to these people, he was humbled. But he also with tears. Now think about, why would he be in tears? Because he realized if he doesn't get the message across, the consequences that would follow behind it. That he knew that some people would accept it and some people wouldn't. And there was many a tears of not only for those who didn't accept it, but for what the church was going through that did accept it, that it would be a hard road. And it just tells how his heart was for God and for his people. Reading on, "And in the midst of the serving, testing by the plots of the Jews' oppositions, you know that I have not hesitated to preach everything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house." He said, I didn't hold nothing back. And we look at that for ourselves, and that's what he's trying to tell them. When it comes to the gospel, Lord, we should not hold anything back. Because this is our only chance. And as I was reading this and seeing his heart into this, realizing that Paul realized that this is it. If I don't get the message across, then who will? And the same message he was trying to tell them. "I have declared to both," reading on in verse 21, don't want to leave you behind. "I have declared both to you, both the Jew and to the Greek, that they must turn to God in repentance and be faithful in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing," and we read this a couple weeks ago, "not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me of prison and hardships are facing me." You know, I struggle. I don't know about Paul, but I was struggled knowing this is what I'm getting ready to face. The promises of being put in prison and being persecuted and beaten, but nothing held him back. However, I consider myself worthy of nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race, to complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The only thing that I need to do, the only thing that we need to do is what Paul is doing here, is there's no value in our personal life, but our only aim should be to finish the race and to complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. You see the message he gives across there? The good news and God's grace. And that's what he focused on. What the Lord, what we just sung about. That very thing where God's goodness is chasing after us. When we push out that message, then you wonder why people would turn it down. But so often, as we'll talk about here in a few minutes, we get our own agenda. We get our own battles that we think we ought to win for the Lord. Instead of leaving the battle to God, we need to leave it to Him and remember what Paul did. Even through his persecution, even through being imprisoned and beaten, my task is to testifying to the good news of God's grace. That's amazing to think about that, what he says. Now in verse 25, now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. He's moving on and he's not going to be able to see them again. And he wanted them to take this moment in time. That's why he preached for so long earlier, because he weren't going to see them again. So he got up there and said, this is it. I got to take my chance when I can. He preached for so long. So don't hold it against me if I hold you until 2:00 in the morning. I'm just saying. And the king will never see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. You know what he's saying there? You can't say it wasn't me that didn't tell you the truth. You can't say that I'm completely innocent if you choose or do not choose God. It's all up to you now. It has nothing to do with me because I held nothing back. And that's the way we should be when it comes to the gospel. We shouldn't hold anything back. We should leave it all in the hands of God and feel innocent if that person chooses it or not to choose it. Because it's not our battle. All we are doing is the messenger to preach the good news. And that's what he was proclaiming to them, to be able to say that, that he held nothing back. This is what he tells the elders. Keep watch over yourselves. He first starts off and says, keep watch over yourself. Make sure you're right. Before you can start looking out for somebody else and telling them wrong or showing them the wrong way or showing them the right way, make sure you're the right way and that you're doing what you're supposed to. And all the flocks of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise, distorting the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. Tell me that's not going on today. That people are trying to destroy the church. Satan was trying hard back then. He wanted to put a stop to it before it even got started. But today, we have to watch out for those who are trying to teach false doctrine. We stand on the truth. It's not our truth, it's God's truth. And that's the way we need to present it. That I'm only showing you what God has to say. And then he said there'll be members within your own body. We got to remember that sometimes we have members who fall away and stand on the podium that they shouldn't be standing on. But we need to be prepared. We need to be watching out for that. Because of we don't want anything to happen. So what did he tell them? Even your own members, going back to verse 30, will arise and bring you from the truth. So what did he say to them? So be on your guard. And that's what we need to be, on our guard. Remember, for 3 years, I never stopped warning you, each of you, night and day, with tears. Paul knew. Paul knew what was going to happen, that Satan was going to work hard to destroy the church, but he wanted them to be watching out. That was a farewell speech. Watch out for yourselves and everybody around you, because Satan never gives up. And that's what he has for the church today. Satan can throw COVID at us, can throw false teachings that are so many out there. All you got to do is believe. We just studied Acts. How many times were people baptized? Here's water. It enables you to be baptized and be saved. Laid out everything that God expects. But people are still getting away from the truth. That all you got to do is believe. Once saved, always saved. Well, wait a minute. If somebody can be own members, can create and change the truth, that doesn't seem like it's once saved, always saved. So we got to stand for the truth. We got to be watching out for those things. Now, verse 32. Now I commend to you God and the word of His grace, which, listen to this, which can build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. The word can build you up, and it gives you the inheritance of all those who are sanctified. You know, we got a great reward coming. Nobody in this room, nobody out there, nobody, Satan himself, cannot take that away from you. You can give it up. You can give it up, but nobody can take that away from you. They can persecute you, they can cuss you, they can beat on you, they can spread a bad name about you, they can do anything they want. They can put you in prison, like Paul did, but they cannot take it away. That's a freedom that you have that nobody can put a bond on you. You need to understand that and realize that. And that's what he wanted them to do. You're getting ready to go through some difficult times within your church and outside your church. But understand this. That's your salvation. It's between you and God. And nobody else can take it away from you. He's trying to encourage them. I have not covenant. I like this part. You know, I learned something on this part right here. Because, you know, we like to make excuses, don't we? I have not covenanted anyone's silver, gold, or clothing. You know why? You yourself, ruler, let me flip it over. I'm getting ready to read something else. You yourself know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companion. I didn't really think about it till I read this. Not only did he preach and teach the gospel every opportunity he did, every chance he did, but he earned his own living. You know, so often we like to paint the picture of the Old Testament back there, the disciples, they just went from town to town preaching. They didn't have to work for a living. So we excuse, well, we got jobs, we got family, we got this, we got that, the now and everything. And Paul just laid it all out right there in that short statement. I earned and worked and took care of me and everyone around me that I could. And it didn't stop me from preaching the gospel and doing every chance. Because as we read on,
In everything I have did, I've shown you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak.
You know why we're working? You understand? It's not for ourselves. You realize that? It's so we can provide for others. To make a difference to others. The good Lord gave us that income. And it's not our income. That's why we give at the first of the week. That's why we help our neighbors and our friends and our brothers and sisters in Christ, because the good Lord gave us that job and that ability to do that. Everything we have belongs to Him. And He tells us, and we read on, remember the words the Lord Jesus Himself said, it is more blessed to give than receive. There's a reason why we give. You know, in Acts chapter 18, 3 and 4, tells us what Paul was. He was a tent maker. You can read that there. He was a tent maker, and then he, on the Sabbath, he reasoned in the synagogues trying to persuade the Jews and the Gentiles. Just like we come together today. There was no different today. We have no excuses that they went through that we can say, well, you know, different times. They had to work and live too. But he was a tent maker. In Acts chapter 20, going on down to verse 36, it says this. When Paul has finished speaking, he kneeled down with all of them and prayed. How important is prayer? I just can't imagine them all coming together. And they all wept, and then they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them the most was the statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. They knew how to end this. They knew they had to end it within a prayer for one another. I can't imagine the emotion that they had going on, because they were all weeping and praying and giving him the kiss. He had the impact. He had the impact on these people. By what? Preaching the good news and the grace of God. That's where he made the impact. By making a difference with anybody he had a chance to. And that's what he wanted to tell them in his farewell. Now you go to Ephesians, where Paul writing back to them, it's kind of funny how he keeps a check on them. He doesn't leave them and never see them again, like, all right, I'm done with you. He keeps a check on them. And he constantly tries them to give them the message they need to hear. In Ephesians 1, verse 15, he sends them a letter and tells them this. For this reason, even since I've heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people. You know, he must have been proud. That feeling that you're getting out of him, that he had to tell them, I'm here what you're doing. I'm excited for what you're doing. And he goes on and tells them, and I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, praying for them daily, I guarantee you. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the glorious Father may give you the spirit of wisdom and reckless revelation so that you may know him better. That's what he asked for them, that they get to know God better. He didn't say, did you get to know me better? He's writing to them, so you get to know me better and we get a better relationship. All he wanted was them to have a relationship with God. Now, there's a typo error next. It says Ephesians 1 again, but it's actually Ephesians 6. And this is what we need to get out of this morning's lesson, what Paul is trying to tell them. As he wrote back to them and letting them know this. We know this is the full armor of God. In Ephesians chapter 10, it's the verses that we know, some of us know very well. But it's reminding us that we need to be prepared for what we're about to face. Finally, be strong in the Lord
and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's snares. For our struggles are not against flesh and blood.
Hold up, let's stop there for a second.
Our struggles are not against flesh and blood.
Our struggles are not against our brothers and sisters in Christ or other people out there. Our struggles are against something else. But against
the rulers, against the authorities, against the power of darkness, the world, and against the spirit of forces of evil in the heavenly realm.
You know who our battles are against? It's Satan. That's who we're trying to save people from. So when we get in our arguments and our battles and our standing our grounds, he didn't say stand firm on our battles. He said stand firm with God. Because we get tied up with personal battles with one another, with family members, church members, not them seeing our side of the view. When it's not our side, we should be strictly going to God's side of the view. And we're told to be prepared.
In verse 13, it tells us this. So therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, and brothers and sisters, it is here. It's not coming. It's here. Back then, it was coming hard, but it is definitely here today. You may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then. Listen to that. So when the day of evil comes, which we said is here, you may be able to stand your ground. You could have left it at that, but no. After you have done everything to stand, he says, stand firm. Man, stand firm. He said, no matter what, you need to stand firm in what you're in for the Lord.
Then put on the belt of truth, bolted around your waist, with the breast of righteousness in place.
And with your feet, which we talked about last week, with your feet, with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace.
You don't put on the, we talked about this last week, I think it was last week, we don't put shoes on to sit down. We put shoes on to go out and do some work, or go out and visit some people, or go somewhere. So when we put on the righteousness of peace, then we need the gospel of peace, excuse me, we need to be prepared to go out and tell somebody about it.
And reading on in verse 16, in addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith.
How important is that? You know, you ever seen a man in battle, he has that shield to protect himself for in battle. We need that faith. We need that Holy Spirit, as we talked about, to help protect us. We need that shield of faith.
For why? For which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows from who? Of the evil one.
That's Satan. Satan's going to try to make you fail wherever he can. And we need to understand that and realize that we are at war, people. You look around us today, we are more in depth of this war than we probably ever have been before.
Take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit.
The sword of the Spirit,
which is the Word of God.
We fight our battles through His Word, not our words. So often we want to stand our ground enough that we want to say something that's not quite true because we want to win that battle. We stand on His Word. Let Him do the battle. Is there something wrong? Show them in Scripture. If you can't show them in Scripture, then don't mess with them hard on it. Make sure you are backed by what God says and not what you think. So often we go by what we think. Stick to the Word of God. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I grew up in the church, and that's one of the hardest things because passion gets in the way. I'm saying, I know I'm right until somebody shows me wrong. And let's go back. If somebody gives you something that doesn't sound right and you're not quite sure, go back to the sword and find out the truth. We want to argue no matter what before we even research what we need to find out. Don't be afraid to go back and study the Word of God. In verse 18, and I pray in the Spirit, on what occasions? That means in good times, that means in bad times, that means in difficult times, that means when things are going right and you're kind of not thinking about the Lord, but remember to thank Him for where you're at, that you've got good times, on all occasions. And you've heard me say it before, but you say, brother, you'd be praying all the time. Exactly. You'd be walking down the road and it's a beautiful day. Thank you, Lord, for this day that I'm able to walk down the road. Don't take things for granted. When you get in your deepest and darkest moments and struggles in life, realize who's going to get you out of that. If you constantly focus on the Lord, Satan doesn't have room. Don't make room for Satan. Make all the room you can for God. On all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. You need something? Need help with something? He tells us all kinds of prayers and requests. Praying for yourself, Lord, I need to be stronger. Praying for our brothers and sisters, Lord, I know he's struggling, and I don't know how to get that word across to him. Pray for your brothers and sisters that he has a soft heart, that he's willing to hear it. Pray for your brothers and sisters who may be sick, who may be in need, who may be struggling working. Pray in all occasions. And with all kinds of prayers. We'd be praying nonstop, wouldn't we? I think that's the idea. With this in mind, we got to be praying for something, because there's a reason why we're praying for this. For this in mind, be alert and always keeping on praying for all the Lord's people. I look around today, and I look in this building, and I had this conversation with a couple. I went to put in service an AED at a church building. This lady started talking to me that was at this church on 460, talking about how the numbers are dropping. And realizing, yeah, this is the time and age that we need to be praying for all God's people. Because you look around, there seems to be fewer and fewer, and it's not only here, it's everywhere. Because the Lord knows that battle is going to get worse and worse. Pray also for me. And that's what I pray today. When I give you this lesson, turn Paul's name into Brian Bear. Pray for me. Because I need prayers on a daily basis. That whenever I speak, the word may be given me so that I will be fearlessness, making known the mysteries of the gospel. For which I am an ambassador in chain. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly. Did he stop right there? I like this last part. Not only pray for me that I will speak it without fear, and that I speak the truth. He says, as I should. And that's the thing that we need to realize. As we should be doing this. This should be nothing new to me, and it should be nothing new to you. It should just be a reminder that we are in warfare. Satan's at our door battling us in every day. Let us stand on the truth no matter what. Let us do the right thing no matter what. Our word matters. What we do matters. It's not going to change. You know, Russ said it all the time. Things are bad, they're going to get worse, but the victory's won. That's one of the embraceable things about Acts, the encouragement thing. No matter what happens, we've already won the war. We've already won the war. We're going to be up there watching the final days when it finally comes down. The final battle, we get to watch the end. Because we're on the right side of it. But our job is not over. As we're in this room, we're breathing, watching. If you're online watching, your job is not done. We have so many more people out there. We talked about it last week. The fields are white and ready. We need to grab as many people as we can. And we ended it with in Acts chapter 28, the end of the book, in the last two verses, it says this, that was read earlier. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rental house and welcomed all who came into him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance, without hesitation. That's what we need to do. That's the lesson of Acts, that we need to preach the gospel with all boldness, without any hesitation or hindrance. That's our mindset. From this day forward, we should be carrying on with ourselves, not being afraid to stand for the truth, God's truth, and remembering it's not our truth. And understanding that we are at warfare, that Satan's going to do everything within his power to stop us. But guess what? He has no power over us. He has zero power over us. Only if we allow him. That's what we need to remember from Acts. That we have all the power in the world. God provided us everything we need. He sent his son to die on the cross to make sure that we're saved. And he sent his helper, the Holy Spirit, to make sure that we continue on with the work. Don't waste that power. Make sure everything you do on a daily basis is on for the will of the Lord. Remember, I want to end it with this way because we talked about it in the beginning. We talked about, can miracles truly happen today? You know the rule. The rule is simple. If it glorifies God, then it's His will. It has nothing to do with us. There's no power that's not kept from us. And we need to realize and understand that you are powerful people. You are strong people. Nobody has what you have. Nobody can do what you can do because you have the Lord on your side. And that's how we need to enact this morning. Realizing that the Lord is on our side and there should be nothing hindering us from doing the truth. I don't know what you're going through, but I enjoy this study in Acts. Thank you for the opportunity for being able to do it. And I got a lot out of it, and hopefully y'all did too. But if there's anything that hindering you, or any doubts that you may have, we have 2 wonderful elders who will pray for you. We have a wonderful congregation who will pray for you. If you're in need of anything, as we just read, we're here to help. So why don't you come now as we stand and sing.